Mini-episode 182 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Royalty Tours USA, your ultimate resource to traveling in style to attend sporting events. Follow them on the web at royaltytours.blogspot.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late-night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
All right, folks, welcome to FDH Lounge mini episode number 182, part two of our NFC preview for 2012. Rick Morris and Kyle Ross, to go to the joke we were making off air a second ago here. The serious NFL fans, I guess you could say.
Serious radio.
Too much agreement so far in this program. We're not going to change the next one here.
I'm getting kind of frustrated out there. And I'm like, so this is how I've got the team. And everything is like,
Once again, though.
I think there's like one team that will be different on by two games, and it's like the last place team that I hate more than you.
Here's a tease, though. When we come to the West in the NFC, and we'll be finishing just like we did with the West in the AFC, where we will have disagreement. We won't have disagreement in this one here. We're both saying, obviously, Green Bay to win it here. I'm saying 12 wins. I say the Packers pick up where they left off last year on that dominant streak before December. Their defense is souped up. I think that, again, I mean, I'm not buying all the hype about, Cedric Benson going to reinvent the running game in Green Bay. But, I mean, I think it'll be an upgrade from what they had last year. And if for no other reason, then nobody's ever going to take him too seriously because they got too many other things they got to focus on here. What are you going to double down on him and leave Jordy Nelson wide open?
Yeah, I mean, let's make no mistake. This is a passing team. Last year, you and I actually went out and had this team repeating.
Yeah.
You know, they were just a hot team like the Giants last year, 2 years ago when they won the Super Bowl. And I rarely pick teams to finish better than 12-4. That's tough to do. If you finish better than 12-4, you're a real good team. Now, we've seen in recent years teams that finish above 12-4 don't always win the Super Bowl. Such was the case with Green Bay last year. I said I thought they could be a 14-2, 15-1 type team. Mm-hmm. They went 15-1. They looked great. And for years, you were golden. You had like an immunity thing to get to the NFC an immunity thing. What kind of terminology is that? You had immunity to go to the NFC Championship game and often the Super Bowl through the top seed in the NFC.
Right.
Top seeds have been losing left and right the last couple of years in the NFC, and such was the case with Green Bay. They ran in to the hot team in the Giants last year, much like the Falcons, who we'll talk about when we get to the South, ran into them the year previous. But, yeah, too much talent here. Aaron Rodgers, still the best player in the NFL for my money.
Yep.
And I've got the Packers, like you, 12-4, winning the division.
Yeah, they're, again, just they're the team to beat. I think there's no question about that. I am doing what you were doing this year and jumping on as a playoff team, as a wild card team, the hot, trendy NFC team. This year, it's the Bears. Last year, to pat myself on the back here, Barry O style, I said it would be the Lions. Jumping up and getting a wild card at, I think I had them at 9-7. This year I'm picking Detroit at 8-8 and missing, and I'm picking them to reseed a little bit, but I'm picking Chicago. I am agreeing with the cognoscente, as you are apparently here, 10-6 Bears making the playoffs. Now that, again, as I've seen in some commentary here, now that they've joined the rest of the NFL and that you have like a Brandon Marshall out there and Alshon Jeffrey, who's going to be equally dangerous once he develops, you've got a Bears team that really is going to get the job done. A defense that, as I've made the point previously on the show, is overplayed relative to how good they are. They're a good defense, borderline pretty darn good, but everybody plays it like they're the 85 Bears.
They're not as good as the Steelers defense.
Oh, no. I mean, they're a good defense, but they're just going to be a good balanced team all the way around, I think. They'll be able to hang offensively, defensively, and I think it'll be enough to get them 10 wins.
I got them at 11.
Okay.
I'm getting them better. I think this is a very good wild card team.
Okay.
And here's the thing. They were, 7-4, 7-3, or something like that through 10 weeks? And
playing way over their heads.
Yeah, but you know what? I've never been a Jay Cutler fan, and I came around last year. I thought before he went in, he got injured, he was playing the best football of his career. Because he's the kind of guy, like a Romo, like we talked about, that he would look great throughout the drive, and then he threw end it with an interception. He was the poster child of that.
Yeah.
And he's got better receivers now. He's reunited with Marshall, who he had great success with in Denver. Not crazy about Lovie Smith as the coach, but you know what is a real key factor with the Bears?
What?
That year in, year out, you can rely on? Great special teams.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, they've got arguably as good a special team as any team in the league. I mean, they, you know, we kind of laughed 2 years ago how in the world they got to be in a position where they were hosting the NFC Championship game, which they lost to Green Bay. They had, like, a record in, like, net punting yardage that year. Like,
historians will be studying that 100 years from now, how they got to be the number one seed.
And both you and I didn't like them at all. Both you and I picked them not to make the playoffs last year.
Yep.
They didn't. And this year, I've got them back in. And, you know, in a little bit, I'll tell you just how good I think they're going to do.
Yeah. You know, spoiler alert, really good. But, yeah, no, they're a very strong team this year. And, again, I'll give Jay Cutler credit last year, again, for a guy who, since he got to Chicago, has never had anything in the way of wide receivers, just guys that they hope will pan out, whatever. I mean, for a guy who, a good part of the time, his number one receiver on paper was Johnny Knox, I've always made the joke, I'd rather be throwing to Johnny Knoxville than be throwing to that guy.
Yeah, so, exactly. So just he could Cutler some weapons. Forte, nice to see him brought back into the fold.
And Michael Bush.
I mean, this is a loaded team offensively. You brought up how the Bears' defense slightly overrated. Their offense is very good, no doubt about it.
I take seriously the whole
9.5 with even money as their win total on both sides.
All right.
I would go over certainly there.
I say narrowly over. And I take seriously the whole Mac Biner thing here of 1,000-1,000. They're talking that way in Chicago. I think it could happen with four
tanks. And they're better with Mike Martz not there anymore.
Yeah, they are. They are. I'm a Mike Martz guy, but he never seemed to fit for their...
I didn't know that about you.
I am. I thought he should have had a job for life in St. Louis, but that's another story for another day. I suppose. In Detroit, again, great combination there. You know, Sports Illustrated is already playing it up. Oh, is this the new Montana to Rice with Matt Stafford and Megatron? And, you know, just, you know, get a hold of yourselves there, SI. But, yeah, again, I'm...
That's a real leap of faith. I mean, it's a good year.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a huge Megatron guy. Got me a fantasy title last year. Thank you for that, Megs. But, listen... They're going to reseed a little bit this year. This is a team that is still kind of feeling its oats off field. You're seeing some issues with that. Defensively, they didn't really gel the way I thought they would last year. Much like
Nick Fairley, what a bust he was.
Yeah, true. I mean, that guy is too busy apparently working the Bismarcky impersonation gimmick in the nightclubs these days. But much like Cincinnati, I think they're a team that reseeds and has better days ahead.
Yeah.
Those days just won't be 2012.
Yeah. Again, the NFC is just tough, man.
Yeah.
You can only pick six here. Where in the AFC, you were scrounging to find six here. You gotta just find reasons not to pick teams. I got Detroit 9-7. 9 is where Vegas has them, and I have the Lions. I don't like that coach, Jim Schwartz. I thought he should have taken his slap on the back from Harbaugh like a man and headed to the locker room.
Harbaugh was just kind of a petulant little chode in that moment, though. That was
just... He was just saying, hey, buddy. You know,
it was sort of like how Bill O'Brien couldn't give credit to Frank Solich after getting his ass kicked. You know, sometimes you just have to sleep a better man.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
That was very good.
Thank you.
I agree completely. I have no witty response to that.
Caught you off guard.
I just think... There's really, again, like the Giants, when I said that they're not going to make the playoffs, the team I'm going to pick to get the last wild, people are going to kind of be like, oh, and you're picking them over the Giants and the Lions?
Uh-huh.
That's going to be the typical reaction.
Yeah.
And I get that. I just have to pick against teams that made the playoffs last year. And the Lions, I don't know. You're right, the off-field problems. Are they overly reliant on Stafford and Johnson? What if Stafford gets hurt? They were a very healthy team last year, Detroit. They had very few starts lost to injury, unlike the team that I'm going to pick to get the last wild card spot. More on that later on. But I just think they narrowly miss out. They're a fine team, and they're well. This is a brutal division. I'm going to make the case. If it's not for the division albatross that we haven't mentioned yet, Minnesota, who I think who may not be the worst team in the league talent-wise, but just because of the draw they get with the division, I think is going to end up with the worst record. I mean, this to me, no division has a better top three teams than the NFC North.
True, but by the same token, Two observations I'm going to make. One, it seems to be, if not an exact mirror image of their counterpart in the AFC, the North Division, somewhat close. Three teams clumped up and one real chode sucker at the bottom.
I agree. I just think these three this year are better than the top three in the AFC.
Oh, I agree.
You've got two bona fide Super Bowl contenders in Green Bay and Chicago here, and then a playoff contender in Detroit. If they played in the AFC North, mm-hmm. I'd be tempted to pick them to win that division.
Oh, sure. Yeah,
that's how strong I think this division is.
Yeah, they would have a very good chance in there to do that. The other thing is that, and I'm just guessing here, but from the tone of your comments about coaching in this division, we didn't talk about Mike McCarthy, but you subsequently mentioned Lovie Smith.
Not crazy about
Jim Schwartz. Wesley Frazier. Is it fair to say that the order of the finish in the division that you have correlates to your respect for the coaches?
Yeah.
Because you respect Wesley Frazier less than any of the other coaches in the division.
Yeah, I would. I mean, that's the case for most, of the division. I think if you look at every division, I like every champion I've picked so far, I like their coach the best. Now, yeah, there's some, I'm not crazy about Gary. The one thing with Houston, I've never been crazy about Gary Kubiak. John Fox is probably ultimately a better coach than Romeo Crennel in the West. I pick Kansas City to win that division. But, Belichick's obviously the king in the AFC East. I like Tomlin the best out of all the coaches in the AFC North. And,
right, but it's just a 1-2-3-4.
Yeah,
that
this one's very clean. Yeah, I really like McCarthy.
Okay.
Smith, I'm not crazy about. Schwartz, I'm even less crazy about.
Yeah.
And then Leslie Frazier. Look, he kind of walked into a bad situation.
Right.
Let's give him some breaks here. The tail end of the Brett Favre fiasco that was so great for 1 year, but it blew up horrifically.
Yeah.
And you don't have a lot left here. You have a terrible defense that made Tim Tebow look great, for crying out loud, in the dome. And then, like a Cleveland, like a Jacksonville, this is a team kind of built around a running back. It's an older running back by NFL standards, and AP. How much does he left in the tank? Not much. I believe next April, the Minnesota Vikings will be on the clock first. I've got them 2-14.
They're in the mix. So I got them at 4-12, but they very well could be. The most noteworthy thing about them, and much like,
what does Vegas have them at? Because six. This is my favorite.
Oh, wow. This is one of the biggest locks in the league.
And the money is not that heavy on the under. Only -125.
Well, here's the thing. They are playing the almost equally execrable AFC South. So people may be looking at that, the possibility.
Okay, but here's the thing. I talked about if there's a team, the team most likely, I would say, to go 6-0 in its division is Houston, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
The team most likely to go 0-6 in its division is Minnesota.
Even more than Cleveland?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Well,
like I said, I think those three teams they have to deal with are tougher than the teams Cleveland. Cleveland, probably 1-5. Cool. We're splitting hairs, but I've got Minnesota 0-6 in the division, so if they'd have to play .500 just to get be 5-11, and that's not likely.
The other thing too, and this goes back to my background as a fantasy sports guy, and why I insist on applying that and the concept of value to the NFL draft, and on all these know-nothings on draft night when their team reaches for quarterback. You don't know, man. It takes 3 years to put. No, you can call it on draft night whether it's a reach or not. Look at what Minnesota did last year. Look at what Jacksonville did last year. How did it work out for you so far? Quite frankly, look at what the Browns did last year. I don't need to. I can tell you right now what I think Brandon Whedon is going to be, and unfortunately it's not very much. The most notable thing about Christian Ponder is the joke that I saw about him on Twitter, that his name makes you think of a Kirk Cameron phone app for kids who are tempted to go into homosexuality.
That's awesome. I think that they will have both, and it's going to end badly. I'm looking at their schedule right now. They start versus Jacksonville at Indianapolis. They'll probably get one of their wins in the first 2 weeks.
Yeah, I think so.
Now, I'll say this. I remember last year on the show I came on, if you remember, 2 years ago was a disaster with Favre.
Right.
And they fell from 13 wins to 6 wins or something like that. It was a huge drop off, the biggest in the league.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, typically when you see that, there's a bit of regression to the mean there. And I thought that they could go. That's one of the reasons that I didn't like Detroit that much last year. You were right. I thought Minnesota was going to be a lot better last year. And here's the thing. They started 0-4 and McNabb was done. if you remember, they blew a couple double-digit leads. I think they blew two 20-plus point leads in the first 4 weeks.
Right.
They were 0-4, and it was done.
Okay.
From there. I mean, that was key from them. This year, I see they play Arizona and Tampa home.
Yep.
Back-to-back weeks, including an NFL Network game on a Thursday against Tampa. They'll have their two wins in the first 8 weeks, and then I've got them losing. Then they play Chicago twice, Green Bay twice. And their schedule is brutal. But they play Houston on the road late. Their schedule is brutal down the stretch.
They've got a nationally televised Thursday night game against Tampa Bay.
Every team gets a national TV.
That's right. That's
because,
right.
Because, you know, the dictator Roger Goodell going a little socialist on
this,
by the way.
Apparently, kids, set your Betamax machines for that one.
Yeah, but I have Minnesota losing its final 8 games.
Okay.
I don't do that a lot often, but I could see Minnesota easily going 0-8 the last 8 games of the year.
I could see that as well. And Wesley Frazier, good luck on your next head coaching job in the UFL.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, All Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.